Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. But look at here. Kicking off the last of them. Here it is. Welcome to the last month of the year. Woo!
See you 27. Sorry.
All the way out.
So
hard. Say goodbye. Yesterday. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us on Facebook and Twitter and all those fine places. 4th of December, the folks bringing it to you.
Remember. 4th of December.
The lady that knows how to spend her weekends, it's the Flintstress.
You were watching. Any guy in tight jeans runs into water? I was taking pictures.
With the polar bear pup thing? I don't remember. Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
See that man right there? He the devil. Never take your eye.
I don't know who you're referring to. Hi, what happened on this fine, fantastic day, Neil?
Well, let's start in 1791. The first edition of Britain's The Observer, the world's first Sunday newspaper, is published.
Did they have color comics? Because that's cool. And then nothing of consequence until 1962. Okay. The United States performs the last atmospheric nuclear test 69,000 feet over Johnston Island.
69,000.
69, dudes!
In 1974, Pioneer 2 makes its closest approach to Jupiter.
1982, Twin Galaxy says David Covell scores 577,710 points playing the Atari arcade game Space Duel at the Budden Games in Kenosha, Wisconsin. A place I hope is named that way because of a typo.
In 1985, the XMP48 supercomputer goes into operation at the San Diego Supercomputer Center, of course, a research unit of the University of California, San Diego.
1995, the United States Department of Justice launches an investigation of Microsoft because the installation of the Windows 95 disables and overrides competing internet browsers without the user's consent.
That's where it begins. 96, General Motors, GM, releases the first electric car to be mass-produced, the EV1.
Also in 96, NASA launches the Mars Pathfinder space probe on a mission to soft land on Mars. It's there to study the planet's geology.
In 1998, Clarion releases the first computer designed to be used in automobiles. The system uses a Microsoft operating system, and it features the ability to respond to voice commands and control the radio and check email. That was the beginning. Wow, it cost $1,300 at first.
Same day, same year, the Space Shuttle Endeavour is launched on the first mission to begin assembling the International Space Station after delivering the station's second module, the Unity module.
In 2006, the first interactive daytime talk show, iVillage Live, premieres on NBC. It's based on the NBC Universal-owned iVillage website.
I don't remember that at all.
Not even a little bit.
Same day, same year, NASA announces plans to build a permanent base at either the North or South Pole of the Moon, depending upon where their Santa
Claus
is.
That was, what, 2006?
Wow. Test bed for the development
of future
technologies for travel to Mars, because we've got to get Matt Damon up there.
Matt Damon.
In 2008, a landmark decision, Europe's top human rights court rules that storing DNA from people with no criminal record is a violation of Article 8 of the European Convention of Human Rights, forcing Britain to destroy the samples of nearly a million people from its database.
2009, DARPA conducts a game theory experiment in which teams around the U.S. are challenged to submit the correct coordinates for 10 weather balloons for a $40,000 cash prize. Over 4,000 teams participate in the challenge, but the winning answer is submitted in only 8 hours and 56 minutes to a team from MIT.
Also in 2009, one of the most popular file-sharing websites in China, BT China, is shut down. While Chinese officials claim that the closure is intended to stem copyright infringement, many see the move as another measure aimed at controlling the content that Chinese citizens can see online.
That's why there's a lack of Chinese pirates in the world now. Birthdays?
Tyra Banks is 44 from Higher Learning, Coyote Ugly, and a Halloween Resurrection.
That's where I remember from. Orlando Brown is 30 from Major Pain, Max Keeble's Big Move, Moesha, and That's So Raven.
Fred Armiston is 51 from SNL, Anchorman, Eurotrip, Smurfs, and the Lego Ninjago movie. She's plain funny.
Portlandia, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Marissa Tomei is 53, excuse me. Oscar winner Marissa Tomei is 53 years old from A Different World, The Toxic Avenger, Oscar, My Cousin Vinny, Four Rooms, Trainwreck, the hottest Aunt May ever.
Patricia Wedding is 66 from City Slickers, 30-something, Alias, and Prison Break.
Jeff Bridges is 68 from King Kong, Tron, Starman, The Fisher King, The Big Lebowski, and Iron Man. And still out there, True Grit, I think, yeah.
Max Speyer Jr. is 80, Jethro from Beverly Hillbillies.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1920, Michael Bates from Dr. Strangelove, Bedazzled, The Good One, and A Clockwork Orange.
Born in 1920, Gene Manford, American educator and activist, co-founder of PFLAG.
1934, Victor French from Little House on the Prairie, Highway to Heaven, Carter Country, and An Officer and a Gentleman. He's one of those guys. You'll know him as soon as you see him.
Well, on TV Tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Big Bang Theory, A New Man with a Plan, Superior Donuts, 9JKL, The Protection of a Seed Bank Goes Awry on Scorpions. No. Show
on television. On ABC, it's The Great Christmas Light Fight. Just beating each other with strands. The Good Doctor on as well.
On NBC, we get a new The Voice and The Wall.
On Fox, it's a new Lucifer. Then the team develops a risky plan on The Gifted.
Uh-oh. On the CW, a mysterious symbol appears in the city on a new Supergirl and a new Valor.
Over on AMC, it's the finale of Ride with Norman Reedus, so Last Ride. Then the first African-American comic company on a new Robert Kirkman Secret History of Comics.
Oh, and Discovery Channel, new Cash Cab?
Yeah, it's back. Oh. It's here. It's ready.
Yes.
Food Channel making decorated cookie toys on the Christmas Cookie Challenge.
Okay.
Just not really
cookie
with fuzz
toys?
And tinsel. I don't need
sure.
that.
Sure. On FX, we get Ted 2, Electric Boogaloo.
FXX, The Simpsons, the one where Homer gains 300 pounds.
Right.
That one, The Pen Pals, George Bush Moves Next Door, and The Truth about Jebediah Springfield.
Good episodes. On FXM, we get The Wolverine.
And on MTV, it's new Florabama Shore.
God,
all
really?
Right. Uh-huh.
On BBC America, we get a marathon of Voyager, Haunting of Deck 12, Dreams Week in the Borg, and Borg wakes up and attacks Voyager.
Oh, we had bad dreams. Over on Sundance, The Shining, followed by Carrie. Is it Stephen King's birthday? Did we miss something?
On Discovery Family, we get a new My Little Pony and Cake Boss.
Over on TNT, it's Ant-Man, followed by Need for Speed.
On TV One, we get a new For My Man and Thou Shalt Not.
But we're going to be watching the Hallmark Channel because the tree finder for Chicago's renowned Radcliffe Tree Lighting is left desperate to find the perfect tree. Then a letter from a boy promising his tree is perfect sends her to a small town where she learns his dad isn't willing to part with it. Brooke O'Dorsey, Mark Bluke is starring Miss Christmas.
Wow.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Sammy and Rafe make love. Sweet, sweet love down by the fire. Hope's concerned with the update on Sierra that Sean and Belle give her, because Sierra's out there just doing all kinds of nonsense. She even warns Claire that she's going to make her pay. Kate urges Lucas to go to rehab, and he says no, no, no. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
You got mail, baby.
My 5-year-old wrote this on his whiteboard on the way to preschool this morning. Can you read what he wrote? Take a look.
It says, it's your Days of the Lives Chad update.
Nice.
What? That's crazy.
He also earlier this week said to tell PRS that stupid is a bad word.
Oh,
from
bad
the
PRS.
Mouths of babes. That's from Sandy. Well, Sandy, that's cool.
Hi, Sandy.
And thank you for considering us safe around your children. I love that. That's fantastic. It makes me feel better about what we do. If your kids do cute things when they listen to the show with you, hey, why not drop a note and let us know? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. I mean, seriously, cute things, and if they, you know, chant how bad we are too, that's fine. It's going to sound adorable.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Hi, this is Granny Mahar, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it. So if we're starting the week all over again, you know what we're doing. What did nobody barely go see this weekend?
Right. This week's 10, last week's 8, A Bad Mom Christmas, $3.48 million. It's made almost $65 million on a budget of $28.
This week's 9, last week's 7, The Star. $4 million even, which is impressive. 27.2 in 3 weeks on a $20 million budget.
This week's 8, last week's 10, 3 billboards outside Ebbings, Missouri, put up $4.5 million. It's made about almost $14 million.
I do want to see that movie. This week's 7, last week's 11, Lady Bird, $4.5 million, $17 million in 5 weeks.
Wow. This week's 6, last week's 6, Murder on the Orient Express, made another $6.7 million. It's made $85 million on a budget of $55.
This week's 5, last week's 5, a trend. Daddy's Home 2, $7.5 million, $82.8 in 4 weeks on a $69 budget.
Yeah. Stop me if you heard this one. This week's 4, last week's 4. Thor Ragnarok put up almost $10 million, and it's made $292 million, just U.S., $180 million budget.
I wonder what this week's 3 is. Well, it's last week's 3. It's Wonder, $12.5 million. It's made $88 million in 3 weeks.
This week's 2, last week's 2, Justice League, $6.7 million, made over $198 million so far.
This week's 1, last week's 1, yep, it's a big old repeat. It's Coco. Making $26.1 million this week, $108 million in 2 weeks. I'm sure it'll make even more next week, and we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Margot Robbie says there's another film in development involving Harley Quinn.
What?
This one she's been developing herself, and it's separate from the proposed Joker and Harley film we talked about, the Gotham City Sirens film we talked about, and the Suicide Squad sequel we talked about.
What?
She said the project will be outlined, but she says it's hard to talk about because the stuff is under lock and key, but I'm working on separate. A lot going on right now. I don't know anyone knows. Okay, look. Are you just babbling at this point? I really want to know. I'm a big defender of DC's movie universe. I know not everybody is, but really, DC is committing to that many Harley Quinn films alone? I'm not sure that I believe this, but, you know, if anyone could do it, I could see it being Harley. I mean, absolutely. If you thought she's just another bubble-headed blonde bimbo, the joke's on you, pal. She's not even a real blonde.
Okay. We talked months ago about a Sabrina spinoff from Riverdale. Oddly enough, it is still on. Even odder, it will not be on the CW, but Netflix, where it had originally been greenlit for not only one, but 2 seasons to be shot back to back. The dark coming-of-age story deals with horror, the occult, and witchcraft. We'll see Sabrina struggle to reconcile her dual nature of being half-witch and half-mortal while protecting her family and the worlds from the forces of evil. The showrunner, Roberto Egg, from Riverdale, will pen the pilot for the new series, and there's lots of the same producers. Despite the connection, the move to Netflix suggests the series will stay truer to the comics and thus avoid the direct connection to Riverdale. Who knows? They haven't really had a release date or casting announcements have been made. It's still a spinoff if it's not connected to the original in any way except the overall source material. I don't know. Will Netflix allow for the darker aspects of the show to truly be darker? Will I even be able to watch it? A more adult version of Sabrina is still giving ex-hamster hope for Josie and the Pussycats pitch.
Pixar movies usually have shorts in front of them, and they're usually good. Coco is a Pixar flick, told you it was coming, with a giant commercial in front of
it. Yeah, I heard about this one.
So if you've been to see Coco, then you've suffered a 20-minute frozen short that's been hated by most every person who has seen it, especially if you didn't know it was coming, because you sat down, because you bought your ticket, and then you got 40 minutes of previews,
right,
trailers,
a lot.
And a Nordic snowman. And people have not been happy about it, and Disney is going to do something about it. Starting December 8th, the Frozen short, Olaf's Frozen Adventure, will be removed from screenings of Coco. This comes from reports that Disney has requested theaters use the time opened up by the absence to hold extra Coco screenings.
Of course.
Which would make a lot more sense. Show the actual movie that people want to see. Go figure, that's business. So if you're planning on seeing Coco, go after December 8th, because otherwise you're going to spend an extra hour in the theater not watching your movie. So kudos, Disney. Even though you wanted your commercialism, you have listened to the people and are willing to let it go.
I knew that that's where you were going.
Of course.
Well, this is great news, cool. A new study shows that ancient women had to deal with a disproportionate amount of the manual labor, in stark contrast to the general assumption that women were demure or weak or shirked manual labor in favor of household tasks. basically every assumption that you have about the ancient women is wrong. They might have even been tougher and stronger than today's elite athletes. The study has examined some skeletons from ancient Europe during different periods. It allows anthropologists to tell exactly what kind of strain these bones were under by studying the shape and how they differ over time, and can figure out not only how strong someone was, but also how they lived, like what sort of activities they did. It's really kind of a cool advancement in this technology. It might sound far-fetched, but it's really not, at least for, you know, a modern human. They're testing this hypothesis and comparing x-rays of contemporary experienced runners and other elite athletes, and they're coming up with amazing results. They found that these women had 10% more arm strength than even top-end women athletes today, and the ancient women bones were most closely resemble those of like elite rowers. It's just kind of cool when you think about evolution and everything that we sort of had to go through. It's interesting to see that there was more manual labor. So let's be clear. Women kick ass and always have. If someone tells you women are naturally weak or they don't know how to throw down, politely refer them to the actual science and lay those myths to rest. Because it shows for a long time now, sisters have been doing it for themselves.
Indeed. Oh, science. You just keep giving. For instance, Associate Professor Leo Xiao Kwan and PhD student Chow Yin Yong of National University of Singapore turned tofu into a quote-unquote tasty alcoholic beverage with many health benefits.
What?
Dubbed Sachi, the drink is made from tofu whey, a liquid generated from the manufacturing of bean curd. Often discarded as untreated waste, the byproduct breaks down into a pollutant, its protein and soluble sugars contributing to oxygen depletion in waterways. Alcoholic fermentation can serve as an alternative method to convert the tofu whey into a food product that can be consumed directly, they say. Together with
maybe we can turn it into booze!
Exactly! They created a unique recipe to generate wine from whey. Add sugar, acid, and yeast to the freshly squeezed
serum. When
there's
a wine, there's a whey.
There is. Leave it to simmer. It doesn't taste like liquefied bean curds, so it's a step up from an MGD. By employing biotransformation methods, researchers can convert tofu whey's strong, beany odor into something sweet with fruity and floral notes. With an alcohol content of 7-8%, it lasts up to 4 months. Finally, a legitimate use for tofu. And like an MGD, after about 3, I'm sure they don't taste that bad at all.
Wow.
I'm just saying, have you had an MGD lately? Do you remember ever
still
having
make those?
Oh, probably not. I'm sorry, that's another era, right, Butch? That's just how it happens. GRD is Life of the Creator, Common Distribution, not Converse, not a Reboot. Yeah, no, I got any Butch. That happens. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Go by and see us at youtube.com/geekradiodaily. There's always fun and interesting and special things there. And no, there's not a break immediately, but there's soon. And because it's Christmas, it's a big one. But we'll talk. We got time and we'll see because, you know, that's what we do.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
This is no respectable establishment.
Good night, suckers.
Good time.
I heard you saying backstage that you were in the Justice League movie that came out, but they cut out your part.
Yes.
That's true?
I'm telling you it's true.
All right, so what was your part in the new Justice League movie?
I played the part of gasoline. What happens is, like, I play, like, I'm just, like, this gasoline, and they put me, like, in the cars and stuff. You know the traffic scenes?
Yeah.
So there's a part where there's sort of, like, I come out, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go inside all the cars, and I'm going to be the gasoline for everyone. So I
wait, that you say that in character?
Yes. So I'm sort of like this liquid figure. It was shot in London.
It just seems like a weird character to have in a Justice League movie. Without it, you would just assume there was gasoline in the cars and you wouldn't wonder where it came from or whether it was a character.
That's what I said when I read the script. I'm like, guys, I think everyone assumes that the cars are going to have gasoline, but they're like, no, this is great. It's like forward thinking. And I was like, okay. And we shot it and I went to the premiere.
Oh, God.
With my grandmother, my mom, my great grandmother was there.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
And it was heartbreaking to explain to them that I was cut
did
out.
Did they enjoy the film anyway?
They loved it.
Great. Who was your great grandmother's favorite character?
She liked Speedo. You know?
I really don't think you were in Justice League.